Fit Heads. Welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 79, Recluse and Red Ales. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined as always by my co-host, Robbie Raz. We are broadcast around the world and on the Armed Forces Radio Network, heard everywhere and anywhere. If you got a phone and can connect to the internet, download podcast. You can pretty much find our podcast everywhere. Tune in. Ask us questions. We appreciate it. Tonight, we're going to be doing a little pairing with some Recluse cigars and some Red Ales. Robbie, what's going on, brother?
Oh, you know, chilling. I actually had a hard time finding Red Ales. Although, I mean, the distinction between Red Ale and Amber Ale, it's a fuzzy gray area between the two.
Get your crap together, beer people. Jeez.
I was trying to be very specific and riding the letter of the law of the show, and which will become evident with my third pairing. I did a piss poor job of that. And that's kind of where we are. No, I got some great beers. I'm excited. This is a nice cigar. It's the first time I've smoked this this Amadeus Habano Reserva Lancero from Recluse. Actually, the only thing I've ever smoked from Recluse other than this was the Draconian, which is a cigar that I freaking loved. That still has one of the highest ratings I've ever given a cigar, I think. I think I gave it a 95. Maybe 94, 95, that area. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That's a heck of a score.
Phenomenal cigar. It was in the running for Cigar of the Year for me that year, but I think that was the same year that Warped La Colmena came out, and it kind of brings it full circle because you're wearing your Warped shirt. And that La Colmena 44 was tough to beat.
Way to ruin it for everyone, Kyle. Thanks. Jeez, could you stop releasing good cigars?
Yeah, dude, forget about it. But no, I'm excited, man. We've got, like I said, I've got some good beers. I've got some local stuff, man. I stayed, for the Red Ales, I stayed strictly in California. And then for the one that I'm doing last, which is...
Still a Red Ale, bro.
It's red ale,
you've broadened the category of the Red Ale category.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But no, things are good, man. It's warm out here in California. I've got a 10-game homestand coming up.
Nice.
So just looking forward to getting back to the ballpark, really. The Giants need to start winning some games.
Guess we're going to be doing some sharing our pairing shorts or sharing our pairing short pours. Because we don't got time to get schmammered for an hour and a half. Ain't nobody got time for that. So I actually have smoked the Recluse, and I'm kind of embarrassed because when you smoke a cigar and you're like, wow, this cigar is really good, and you're like, I've never smoked anything from this company before, it's embarrassing because it's not like I haven't smoked anything from this company before because they're not very good. They're really good. Like, they're absurdly good. I smoked the Amadeus first on a show on Stoic Geeks. I've talked about it before. I was a guest co-host, and they had Scott Weeks from Recluse on. Super nice guy. Definitely check out the review or the interview that Robbie did with him at IPCPR 2016 in Las Vegas. Super nice guy. Like, just you can tell right from meeting him. Super classy, nice guy. And it blew me away. Now, I haven't had the Lancero, but, you know, Scott being the guy he is, he's like, yeah, man, you know, here's some cigars for your show. And, boy, this is really good. It's kind of got a little bit of creaminess, which I know you love, I love. But underneath that, it's got like, you know, it's got a little heat. It's got like a little jalapeno spiciness going on. And, you know, it's a Lancero. Who doesn't love Lanceros? Get out.
Yeah. I you say jalapeno, I say more like a dried red pepper flake or something.
Okay.
Where it's more heat than flavor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, when we start using those terms like jalapeno and then like dried red pepper flakes, it sounds super hot. It's not. I mean, it's relatively spicy, but it's not going to blow you away. And it's all in the retro for me. I get a little bit of it on the tongue, but not a ton. Most of the flavors I'm getting on the tongue, there's a little bit of richness there. There's some kind of a leathery body to it. A little bit of creaminess as well. Some cedar, things like that. And you kind of get that general profile that I'm talking about. And then you get that spice on the retro hail. Really does kind of bring everything together. Not a lot of sweetness in here, but that's... I don't think it needs it. So it's a nice blend so far. I mean, I'm half a pinky in here, but a lot of nice flavor to it.
So we'll talk a little bit about the cigar before we get into the beers tonight. It's using an Ecuadorian Habano Grade A wrapper. I think what's cool about all of Scott's stuff is that they're all Entubar or Entuba rolled, which
Entubado,
which is very difficult. It's not super difficult if you're using a normal size like a Robusto or a Toro or even a Gordo, but I cannot imagine how pissed off the rollers were when they were told they have to do it for a Lancero, because I don't even know, I mean, outside of Cuba, I don't even know if anyone has ever done that before. So I think what makes this cigar special is using the, beyond the awesome wrapper, which love that Ecuadorian Habano and Corojo, using a Mexican San Andres binder, which I think kind of gives it that great creamy chocolatey body. And then Dominican fillers. And then I got a little U.S. broadleaf, Pennsylvania broadleaf in there to give a little oomph, which I like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting blend. And chatting with Scott, definitely if you're not familiar with Recluse, definitely check out that interview because he takes us through the whole line. I think I say a good 6 or 7 words in the whole interview. He was on a mission and he had a lot of energy. So he basically broke down everything. They've got a lot of new stuff, like a lot of people do. We don't need to get into all that, but definitely a lot of cigars in their line worth checking out. But like I said, this is only the second cigar that I've smoked. I know we've got another Amadeus that has a Connecticut wrapper on it, I believe,
yep.
That we'll have in a show coming soon. So going to definitely cover some more Recluse stuff. But yeah, check out that interview, and you'll get a little bit more information on the company for sure.
I'm going to break protocol here and get into an audience question before our first break. Just kind of lead us right in. It's very poignant to what we're talking about. It's a comment question from Gabby Bello. Thanks for your question, Gabby. Appreciate it. Gabby asks good questions. He says, Recluse seems to go under the radar a lot with most cigar smokers. Do you guys have a theory as to perhaps why? And I'll kind of touch on that because obviously it flew under my radar. And, you know, I kind of have a pretty good sense of what's on the market. But I think what it is, I mean, you have to realize there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of cigar makers in the market, and it's really tough. And I say this as a smoker, as a reviewer, and as a guy who runs a chain of cigar stores, it's really hard to find, you know, like I'm sure there's other really great cigars out there that I've not tried because one cannot simply smoke them all. So part of it is there's too many cigars, and part of it is, you know, sometimes because Recluse, you know, hasn't really had a huge social media presence to us, so it hasn't really fallen on our radar. But once it has fallen on our radar, you know, we give the product a fair shake, find out it's fantastic, meet Scott, find out super great guy, you know, we're absolutely going to cheer him on and rally behind a great product. But I think if you think about the guys who aren't us, who aren't the cigar geeks, it's really tough for a cigar smoker who smokes their CAOs or their Camachos or their Rocky Patels to break out of that and try something completely different. And, you know, I say that again as a owner of B&M stores. What do you think, Rob?
I don't understand how it's although, you know what? Actually, I do understand. When you say, like, the guy who smokes his CAOs or his Rocky Patels, Camachos, whatever, he finds his brand and he sticks with it, and how do you break out of that? I mean, to me, rarely does a day go by or a couple days go by where I smoke something from the same company.
Yeah.
Or it could be weeks before I smoke a cigar from the same company. Granted, we're in a different situation than most cigar smokers. But I, as I was saying, how could somebody be like that? Like, how can you be that way? I'm remembering that I have, for a lot of restaurants that my wife and I will go to, I get the same thing every time because I've had it before. I know it's good.
Yep.
I don't always get to come here. So I'm not going to screw it up by getting something that I don't like. So maybe that's the same thought process. The guy says, I don't have a ton of time to smoke cigars. I get to smoke maybe 1 or 2 a week, and I want to make sure that I love these cigars. So I want to make sure that time that I get, what's precious to me, is with something that I know and enjoy. So I can understand how people can get caught in that, excuse me, in a rut like that, I guess, for that's makes it sound good, but you know what I mean.
Yeah we actually had a routine.
We actually had Scott on Cigar Chat maybe 2 years ago. It's been a while since we had him on, and I know we did some reviews right off the bat, and then we you know how it is, we go in cycles, man. It's we've got, as far as reviews and stuff, now we're working through all our IPCPR stuff. So then around January we're going to start doing, you know, whatever, if there's anything that's new coming out or whatever guests we're featuring on shows, we'll be reviewing that stuff. So it's easy for us to get caught in that cycle of we have to do what's new. We have to do what, you know, whatever's coming up on a show, that kind of thing. So that's how some manufacturers can get lost in the shuffle. There's a lot of manufacturers that we talk about a lot that we don't necessarily do reviews for. Like, I can't remember the last time we reviewed something from Roma Craft.
And yet we smoke them all the time.
Yeah, and we talk about them all the time. And we've had them on shows, and we've had Skip on everything. But
when's the last time we reviewed a Perdomo? And, you know, Perdomo's not a small company, so.
Yeah, there's that too. So, to say, I don't know if we have an excuse. I don't know if we need one, but... I mean, hey, there's a lot of companies, man. We do the best we can.
Do the best we can. And well said. And I mean, Gabby, thanks for your question. It's a good question. I mean, it's a little off topic for the pairing show, but perfectly on topic for what we were just talking about, which is Recluse and the history and the company. So thanks for your question. Appreciate it. Just a reminder to our audience, you're tuning into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 79, Recluse and Red Ales. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined by my co-host, Robbie Rass. We are heard around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. For all those podcasters out there, I'm sure you're tuning in by iTunes in the droves, because I think it's like 80% of you. We're heard in over 60 countries, 65 countries in the world, so thanks for tuning in wherever you are. We're getting into some pairing. We're doing some red ales, and I'll kick it off because it's a little juvenile, and you know I'm not really one for the juvenile humor all the time.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I saw the Thirsty Beaver, and I thought, okay, it kind of made me giggle, you know. It's kind of like that grade school Thirsty Beaver. But this is from Tree Brewing, and Tree Brewing makes some really good beers. And I like their beers. And I like the fact that I could buy it as a single can. We were talking before the show that sometimes it's a bit of a drag to have to invest in a six-pack. It's not that I don't want to drink your six-pack. It's that I've got a lot of beer. I don't need more. I just need a single beer for the show. Please, won't you help me out? You can see it's got that kind of golden brown amber color, which is what I expect. It's got that nice creaminess on top, which is good. I've been obviously cheating because that's just how I roll, and it's my show, and I can do whatever I want. I don't care what you guys say. Anywho, it's 5% ABV, 20 IBUs, so pretty easy drinking. At 5% IBU, you'd almost call that sessionable. I mean, if it was down around 4.6, 4.2, it would be totally sessionable. 20 IBUs means it's super approachable. We'll talk a little bit about the hops. It's got Pearl and Cascade. Pretty typical. Now, what sets, and we'll talk a little bit more about this as the show goes on, but what sets a red ale or an amber ale apart from a pale ale or another type of ale is the malts, because it's all about the malts, baby. And here we've got pale, dark Munich, and then that magic malt that makes that happen, Crystal. And again, we'll talk about that as it goes on. What I love about Tree Brewing, they got food pairing. Love to see that. It's chicken, seafood, burgers, and cheddar cheese. That all sounds good to me.
Yeah, man.
So what do you got on deck, as they say in the biz?
So the first beer I went with is from El Segundo Brewing. And all I hear is A Tribe Called Quest. I left my wallet in El Segundo.
Love that.
If you don't know it, look it up. Is that rain coming down?
The heavens just opened up in a monstrous, monstrous way. So, yeah, hopefully I don't get electrocuted. Anyways, carry on.
All right, that's good to hear. Hopefully you don't. So El Segundo Station 1 Red Ale, picked this up at my local bottle shop at Monument Liquors. El Segundo is in Southern California. They come out of El Segundo, California, which is down south, just near San Diego, I believe. I've never actually been to El Segundo, nor have I ever left my wallet there, but they do have a pretty substantial beer list, actually. If you go and check out their website, it's elsegundobrewing.com. They've been around since 2010. They're at 140 Main Street in El Segundo. So like, that just conjures up images of like your local brewery in like the 50s, even though there was no such thing in the 50s. But like, they're right there on Main Street. And I don't know. I'm just being weird, but that's what that's what it conjures up to me. They're known for more of their IPAs or double IPAs, all their hoppy stuff. This side here is, obviously we're going with the red ale, so it's more of a malty. It's more of like a British style ale, really. You're focusing on the malts. We're going with American Two Row is their base malt. Carapils does not really provide a lot of flavor, but it's mouthfeel, head retention. Crystal, like John was saying, Crystal 60 and Crystal 20 or 120. Now the numbers after that refer to the Lovabond. So Crystal 60 is Lovabond 60. And Lovabond 120. That's the level of color. So the higher the number of the Lovabond, the darker it is. So you can see this beer is pretty dark. It's coming through as kind of a mahogany color, definitely on the darker side. not it's crystal clear. It's not like a stout or anything like that. But that's where those crystal malts come in. They do provide some sweetness. They provide some head retention and things like that. But they're mainly used. I mean, one of the main things you get out of them is their color. And there's chocolate malt in here as well, which incidentally does not really taste like chocolate. It's a darker malt. Actually, it tastes a lot more like coffee to me. But I don't have any idea on the hops that they use. I don't know the IBUs in this, but it's really low. The ABV is 6.7%, so a little bit higher in ABV than yours, John. But it's got a lot of nice flavor in it. I have been cheating as well, and it's actually a really good beer.
Talking about my first beer, as I get blown away by the rain here, because I'm in a semi-arid desert. That's what it does. It rains all the time, or something. It's a very this Tree Brewing Thirsty Beaver is very approachable. This is the kind of beer I'd want to drink on a hot day. It's got just a really nice creamy mouthfeel to it. Nice, crisp, clear finish. There's, you know, because the IBUs are so low, I'm not getting any bitterness. I'm not getting any sharpness. The maltiness is nice without being overpowering. So because I'm dealing with a creamy cigar here, I was really hoping that the maltiness in this beer wouldn't overrun the cigar, and it's not. In fact, I think what it's doing is it's kind of amplifying that sort of heat that I'm getting off the cigar. That cedar that you're mentioning, I'm kind of picking up a lot more cedar now, especially as I'm drinking the beer and retrohaling. But it's, I mean, great combination, great way to start the night. I hope the rest of the beers pair up well, because this is kind of the, you know, softball pairing land, because it just works so well. It's so effortless. Talking a little bit about the red ales, and again, we'll kind of get into more of this as the show goes on, but one of the primary things that gives a red ale its color is the malt. And crystal malt is typically either the primary malt that they used in making a red ale, or they use an amber malt. So that's where the term red amber ale comes in. They do kind of use them interchangeably. But I have noticed in the beers that we've got tonight that have their hops or malts listed, most of them are using crystal. So it's kind of interesting that yours uses two kinds of crystal there.
Absolutely. Well, it's when you talk about crystal malt, you can go crystal 20. This goes up to 120, and I'm sure they go higher than that. They're always adding new malts. But as I get again, as I said, that's the amount of time that the malt spends under heat. So the hotter that it gets, and I may be saying this incorrectly. I'm pretty sure this is right, but the more time it spends under heat, the darker it gets. So it's going to implement more sweetness, more color. You do get a little bit more sweetness the higher the Lovebond goes up. But they also provide head retention and mouthfeel. So you get a lot out of those crystal malts. I actually just brewed yesterday. I brewed an Oktoberfest, and I used two different crystal malts. And really, they weren't the base malt that I was using. And I think for the most part, and I may be speaking out of turn here, but I think for the most part, you're going to use crystal malt's not going to be your base. It's going to be one of your secondary malts that you're using for those specific things. You're going to go with a base malt like a two row is what they use here. Very basic. Something that's not going to impart a ton of flavor, but it's going to give you, it's going to help you get to that right ABV that you need to be in as far as that's concerned. But some companies may do it differently. But you're definitely going to see those crystal. You're going to see crystal malt in just about everything. I mean, even IPAs, you're going to use some crystal just to get some color. So, and it serves more purposes than that, like I said. But John's getting rained out over there, so I'll go in and talk about this.
I was actually getting my untapped on because, first of all, actually, I had to pour some water out of my glasses, so that's always good. At least it's rainwater. But I was just pouring my next beer to let it settle. But please, carry on.
Yeah, so this Station One Red Ale from El Segundo, I actually really like the label. It's just kind of old school looking. And by the way, I looked at their website, and they've got like 18 different IPAs.
Oh, hello.
Double IPAs. They are not messing around.
Hello, my new friend.
Yeah, seriously. And I haven't really had much from El Segundo. The only thing I knew about them is they have an IPA called the Broken Skull IPA, and it's Steve Austin's IPA. And he's a wrestler, right?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, is it Stone Cold Steve Austin? Steve Austin. Yeah. Okay, there you go. So that was their big deal. That was a limited release, I believe. I remember seeing that around a lot. But other than that, they have a Kapow IPA, which I'm very interested in trying, and a few different other IPAs in here, double IPAs. But They have a red ale and a pale ale and a ton of IPAs. They've got some barrel aged stuff. So they're all over the map, which is great. This red ale, it's really good. And you said that this was the kind of beer that you would like on just like on a summer day. For me, this is more much more fall. I like that kind of it has a warming type feeling to it, right? You're not drinking it warm.
Yeah.
But it's got that creamy mouthfeel to it. It's dark in tones. This really just reminds me of fall and like, you know, leaves are falling and there's pumpkins around. I'm not drinking any pumpkin ale this year though.
We'll see.
I'm reminded of that movie Sideways. I'm not drinking any freaking pumpkin ale because he didn't want to drink any Merlot. But yeah, I'm pumpkined out. But yeah, the pairing is nice because you're getting the richness from the cigar. There's some cedar notes in there. There's some spice on the retrohale. It's very balanced and it's very palate pleasing. It's not overpowering in any way. Very approachable, much like the beer is. The beer is very approachable. It's got some nice, there's not some nice fruity tones to it, actually, like a stewed fruit. Not too heavy. A lighter stewed fruit, if that makes any sense. And the malty notes are really, really nice. It's got a nice mouthfeel on it. It's a little bit heavier than like an IPA or something. But the pairing here is really nice because the finish on this red ale is pretty crisp. Mm-hmm. It's not lingering too long on the palate, so it gives the cigar a chance to kind of battle back and get some of that flavor from the cigar. So it's very, very nice give and take on the palate. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's a style that I tend to like. I mean, I like a pale ale, but typically I think of a pale ale as, you know, not a beer that I'm really drinking to, because you know they're quite light. And to me, an amber ale is kind of the best of both worlds. You get a pale ale, but so you get the easy drinking of a pale ale, but you get a lot more body to it without going to, you know, porter or brown ale. Because sometimes I kind of want something in between. I want a little bit of body, but I don't want a brown ale. You know what I mean? I don't want to eat it. I don't want to chew it. I just want a beer. Just give me four beers. So in terms of pairing, you know, I wasn't quite sure because you suggested the red ales and the Recluse, and I thought that was a great suggestion. I wasn't sure how the red ales were going to pair, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, this could go really well because, again, that Habano wrapper, I think, you could probably pair a lot of different things with that Habano wrapper, but this is more in the category of supporting and really playing off the cigar than the beer. So the cigar isn't necessarily doing much for the beer. I think in this case, the beer is doing more for the cigar, and I'm okay with that because we're smoking a Lancero, and I kind of want the cigar in this case to be showcased. I don't necessarily want the beer to be showcased.
Yeah, I would agree. really, I came up with the idea of Recluse and Red Ales just because I like alliteration.
A little double R action.
Yeah, absolutely. And it works out pretty well. One thing I like about Red Ales as opposed to Amber Ales, and I, you know, I don't know what the technical definition is, but a Red Ale to me, it's going to be less hoppy. Mm-hmm. So there's very little hops happening. I mean, there's hops in there, but it's that hoppy flavor is not really there. And I've jumped into my second one here, which is they actually defined, excuse me, as the bastardized Scottish red ale. So it's got a little bit of a hoppy, thing happening here. So I'm curious to see how this pairing's going to go. But yeah, I like the idea of a red ale. When amber ales, like I think of Fat Tire from New Belgium is kind of the quintessential amber ale, right?
Yeah.
And that's got a lot more body to it than this does for me. It's got a lot more
hoppiness. Like you can really taste the hops in it.
Yeah.
I think it's probably only like 40 or 45 IBUs.
And it's got a lot more punch to it too.
Yeah.
So it's to me, they look similar, but I feel like they should be defined as very different styles. And I probably should have looked that up before we did this, but I don't know what the strict definition is of each, but we played a little fast and loose with that on this one because, I mean, even this beer, this second one that I'm having, is vastly different from the first. So it's going to be an interesting show.
Yeah, let's get after it. Let's get after it as I carefully, you know, I'm kind of cramped here because I'm trying to avoid the rain, so I'm a little close quarters. But going with the Toro Red from, I think, a brewery that you featured more than a dozen times, Brickside Brewery. Out of Woodlawn area of northeastern Portland, and they started as a restaurant brew pub back in 2010, and I think you've spoken quite highly of them in the past. This particular red ale, and it is a true red ale, it's a collaboration. So they took Chef John Gorham, who's got Toro Bravo and a bunch of other restaurants and kind of worked with him to blend this, to make this. It's I'm kind of moving up in both ABV and IBU tonight. So we're going from 5% IBU or 5% ABV up to 6.3% ABV. So a bit, quite a jump actually. And then the IBU is not so bad. We're going from 20 to 34. What I like about this is it's available year round. I'm always a big fan of that. I mean, it's tough because you got a buying season for a lot of stuff, like your IPAs are very seasonal, your porters and stouts are very seasonal. Of course, that delicious pumpkin ale, very seasonal. And talking about they say the notes in this is cherry, caramel, light smoke, and chili. So all of that sounds really interesting to me. I don't know if I'm going to get any of that tonight, but I'll certainly do my best. And you can see the color of this is pretty much on par with, I mean, maybe the Tree Brewing Thirsty Beaver is a little bit darker, but
yeah,
it's pretty close. I mean, that's kind of where I want my red ale to be. That's, you know, it's got that red color without getting that brown of a brown ale. That's kind of where I want it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm jumping in here with my next beer. It's the Red Rocket Ale from Bear Republic. And Bear Republic is in California, very, very close to me, actually. They're right up the road. They are in, they opened their factory in 2006 in Cloverdale. They opened a second. Beg your pardon. 1995 was when Bear Republic was established, right when I graduated high school, actually. And it's up there in Sonoma County. And they're in Healdsburg. And the one cool thing about Healdsburg, which I probably mentioned this before, but that's where a lot of the movie Scream was filmed, in Healdsburg. You remember that movie, Scream?
It's a good movie. Love that movie.
I don't mean to interrupt your untapping. But, yeah, so they've been around since 95. 2006, they opened their factory in Cloverdale. And in 2016, Bear Republic, they were recognized by the Brewers Association as the 44th largest craft brewery in the United States. So I don't know exactly what that means. They're known a little more for their IPAs, too. The Racer 5 IPA is kind of their standard release, and it's really good. Yeah. It's one of those beers that we talk about taking cigars for granted. That's one of those beers that I take for granted. I can go down to Safeway. I can get a bomber of it for $4.99, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great beer.
It's one of those beers that if you find somebody who's never had it before and you give them one, like, oh, man, you know, can you get me some more of this, that type of thing. So this is the first time I've had the Red Rocket in bottles. I've had it I've been up to the tap room and brewery a few times, and they have some great stuff. They actually have an Apex IPA that's very, very good as well. So I'd had this there, sampled it up there. They had some really cool stuff on tap when Dana and I went up there. And we got lunch there, and the food was actually pretty good too. So definitely darker.
Oh yeah.
On first appearance.
It's almost like blood red.
Yeah, it's definitely a deep, deep amber, is how I would call it. And it's actually considered an American amber ale, 6.8%. They call it a deep copper red is the color, which nice. I'll buy that. And this is where it takes the big jump right here in IBUs. I don't know what the IBUs were on the El Segundo because they didn't tell me. But if I had to guess, I would say they're somewhere in the 20 range.
Yep.
That would be my guess. This is 67.
Woo!
So we're bouncing. This is what I was saying. This is the difference to me between a red ale and an amber ale is illustrated right here, because this is an American amber ale, and it's hoppy, man.
Yeah.
It's big on the hops. They describe it as the Rocket Red Ale is a bastardized Scottish style red ale. I love Scottish red ales.
Me too.
That traces. I looked for some yesterday. I couldn't find any. That I didn't have to buy a six pack for. I should say. Traces its origins to their homebrew roots. Like, these guys were homebrewers, and they flipped the script and went wild and went pro, and now they're making money. It's full bodied. Hoppy, and it finishes on the palate with sweet and caramel malt flavors. Now, those caramel malt flavors, that's coming from your crystal. You're getting that flavor all from your crystal. It doesn't say they're malt. They use a lot of crystal in this, because you can tell by the color. You can tell by that creamy head that it's got, or you can tell by the flavor as well. You can smell it. I mean, if you get your hands on a Red Rocket Ale, take a whiff, and that's exactly what, like, Crystal 80 smells like. So if you get your hands and scoop up a big scoop of those malts and just take a whiff, that's what it smells like.
As one does.
Oh, man, I do it whenever I get a chance. But if you've already brewed with the malts and they sit out for a day, don't do it, because then they're nasty. But but no, man, oh, I walk into more beer and it's like, oh God, just like shower me with malts and like pour some sugar on me, but a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff. But this is definitely a different beer, so I'm curious to see how this is going to go.
Before I talk about my second beer here, I'm just going to remind our audience that you're tuning into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 79, Recluse and Red Ales, broadcast on CigarFederation.com, picked up on YouTube, and also picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for all the guys and gals out there keeping us safe wherever you're stationed in the world. I don't know if you have a chance to have a beer, but thanks for tuning into our show. We appreciate it. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined, as always, by my co-host, Robbie Rass. And we're talking about Red Ales, and we're smoking this fantastic Recluse Amadeus, Habano Reserva, Lancero. I mean, you already had me at Recluse. You definitely solidified me with the Habano wrapper and, you know, brought it home with the Lancero. This delicious Toro Red, this has got to be one of the best Red Ales I've had. This is going to rank very high for me. It's got a lot of body. It's kind of, I think, pushing that envelope for a red ale about as far as you can go. And they're absolutely bang on with a little bit of chili. It finishes with a little bit of chili spice. But I would kind of describe it as, you know, when you add chili to like pasta sauce or something like that, so you get that nice tomato flavor, and then you just get that little zing of chili to finish the flavor out. And that's what I get with the beer. So I get that creaminess. I'm getting that caramel. The light smoke they talk about, I think, is kind of being run over by the cigar. I really only get it on the nose. But the beer absolutely finishes with just a nice zip of chili, and that's how I would say it's a zip. It's not overpowering. It just kind of finishes with that sharp chili flavor, and then the chili goes away. It's perfect. I mean, this, you know, I don't want to say it's a perfect red ale, but it's pretty darn close, because this is kind of exactly what I wanted. And of course, going really well with the cigar, although the chili on the beer is kind of taking away a little bit of the heat from the cigar. So I'm getting a lot more of the creaminess from the cigar now. And again, I think that cedar note, that woody note is kind of picking up as the creaminess picks up. I think those two are kind of linked in the cigar. How's your second pairing going?
Pretty good. I was actually going to ask you, I'm glad you said that, about the chili on the end of the beer. I was curious because this cigar's got some spice to it, mm-hmm. although it's mellowing out towards the middle. And I was curious how that was playing, so I'm glad you pointed that out. For me, this pairing is definitely different, and it's definitely better, which is interesting to me because I really wanted to stay away from the hoppy side of things, and I'm going to be completely honest with the way that these pairings went. I sent John a message yesterday while I was looking for beer. I said, picking red ales was a bad idea because I could find them, but I didn't want to buy six packs of these things. And it's just like John was saying, the investment for a six pack and the investment for a 22 on most of these beers is about the same.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, you know, I paid like, well, this El Segundo was only like $5.99. And I think this Bear Republic was only like $5.99, but there was a couple there. There was one from Humboldt Brewing that was $6.99, and there was another one, a much more common red ale, and I can't. Its name is.
There's a lot of effervescence going on with these red ales. I just want to throw that out there.
For sure.
I'm hitting the mute button like every 10 seconds.
Yeah, they only hit me when I start talking. So when I saw the Red Rocket, I said, "Okay, I have to get this because I've had this beer before." Now, I actually thought it was a different beer. So I'm a little bit surprised that it was that American Amber, but it's worked out well because that extra hoppiness and that extra body of the beer is really bringing out more of the body of the cigar. So it kind of forces the cigar and my palate to adjust a little bit, and I'm getting a lot more of that richness that I was getting from the cigar before. The creamy texture is still there, and it feels a little bit stronger now because this beer, its mouthfeel is a little less creamy. So I'm getting more of that creamy texture from the cigar. I'm getting a lot more spice now as I'm getting into this cigar. Even though I just said the spice is calming down, I'm starting to notice that it's picking up a little bit more.
Yeah, it just kicked up for me too.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's, you know, the spot I am in the cigar or having to do with the pairing, but these two, they're playing together really, really nicely. I'm not losing anything from the beer, and I feel like I'm getting a bit more out of the cigar, which for the most part, for most of us, that's exactly what we want, right? I want to enjoy the beer and have my cigar kind of enhanced. And that's really where it's at. It's a really nice complementary pairing that I could actually see myself really revisiting. This is really good.
Yeah, I think for me, the chili was really unanticipated. I didn't know that going in. And I've had like chili porters before, and I've, to be honest, been let down a lot. I find chili porters, you know, I'm expecting a lot more chili out of them, and they end up just being kind of a huge letdown. For me, the chili is just, like I said, it's in that perfect proportion where you get a little bit of zip of chili without really taking away from the beer. And that's, I mean, I say that as a guy who's been cooking really his entire life. That's really tough to do because chili is a pretty prominent flavor, and only have that at the end of the drink instead of the middle or the beginning and sort of take over all those flavors is, you know, probably testament to both the brewers and, of course, Chef John Gorham, who they paired with. But like I said, I mean, this is, to me, this is kind of, when I think of a red ale, this is kind of exactly what I want. I mean, taste is subjective. There's many people out there that like different things in red ales. For me, this is kind of what I want. No disrespect to Thirsty Beaver. It was a great beer. But for me, if I'm looking for a more complex red ale, this is it. I mean, I just can't see how you any dials you could change on this would really take it away from being a red ale. So I don't know if you could turn any dials. I mean, I don't know what the components are in this. They didn't reveal what the hops are or the malts are, but they've knocked it out of the park. I mean, this is it. And as you say, this is kind of a pairing I think I would revisit. Now, I'd love to try different Recluse just to see how it stands up to the red ale, but the Recluse Amadeus and this red ale, this is, you know, barring the last beer, I can't imagine it being better. This has got to be the pairing of the night for me so far.
Yeah, the structure of a red ale and the structure of this particular cigar, and, you know, probably, I'm not going to say most cigars with Habano wrappers because that's not really fair, but, you know, a cigar with a Habano wrapper that's going to be in that medium strength, full flavor type situation, which is where we are, there's a lot there that pairs really well together. There's a lot of components that are going to match up.
Yeah.
So while we were just going with alliteration when we came up with this pairing, I think we actually kind of, we're on to something here a little bit.
We're pros. I mean, we've done this once or twice in the past.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, you don't even really think about it, and you just kind of nail it sometimes. And yeah, right. It was a total accident. But I'm going to prove myself wrong with my last pairing. But yeah, these two pairings so far, they've been different, but they've both been very good. The Red Rocket Ale, I think I liked the Station One Red Ale better just on its own as a beer. But the pairing with the Red Rocket is better.
I'm going to get into another audience question here before we jump off to our third beer. Plus, I'm just trying to extend the time with the Toro Red as much as possible. There's a question from Bob Dog. Thanks very much, Bob Dog. Always supporting the show with questions. Appreciate it very much. His question, we kind of touched on a little bit, but I'm going to read the whole thing. He says, just wondering, what makes a red ale red and how does it affect the flavor? Well, we kind of touched on it a little bit. A lot of that red color is coming from toasting the crystal malt, and Robbie kind of touched on that. you can dial in how toasted you're making that crystal. The more toasted you make the crystal, the more sweetness and more malty character it's impacting the red ale, and obviously the darker it gets. Now, you have to be really careful. I'm not a brewer. I don't know much about brewing, but I did read on this, and you have to be really careful with that dial because you can super overdo it. I'm not a fan of overly sweet beer, and I'm certainly not a fan of overly sweet red ale. So you really got to be careful with that dial. But that's you know, talking about in comparison to a pale ale, what you're getting out of the red ale is that malty character. That really is the kind of core of what a red ale is. It's a pale ale, just with malts on a bit of steroids. Robbie, what are your thoughts and take on that?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And in my limited experience in brewing, and I've never really brewed anything that is similar to a red ale. So, I mean, the closest that I've done would be the Oktoberfest that I did yesterday. And it's a Marzen. It's a lager, so it's a little bit different. And it's actually resting in my fridge right back here.
Oh, boy.
Well, when you use lager yeast, you got to stay 50 degrees or below. So that's right at 50 degrees. 50 degrees freedom units, 10 degrees Celsius.
Roger that.
And it's actually the dial is Celsius. So I might have to message you occasionally to find out what the hell I'm doing. But for that particular beer, and I mean, a Marzen it's a dark beer. It's a very similar style, different flavor profile, but similar in style. You're like, excuse me, like 10% of your of your grains are going to be like the crystals and that kind of thing.
So you still,
you still need that base malt. And for that, it was I used a German Pilsner. and some Vienna malt were my base. And on top of that, I added some Crystal 60, I think, or it was Crystal 20, 40, and no, that was my IPA. See, I use them in my IPA too. I use 20, 40, and 60 in IPA. And I'll tell you exactly why I use those three. I used the I use all three of them to get a little bit more color. But we're talking about, I had 13 pounds, no, 15 pounds of malt. And
seems like a lot.
And it was it's a double IPA, so it's coming in at 8%. So 15 pounds of malt for a 5-gallon batch. But I had a half a pound of 20, a half a pound of 40, and a half a pound of 60. So so you're talking, it's a really small amount.
Yeah.
But it imparts a lot of color and a fair amount of flavor too. But again, like I've said before, it imparts a lot of head retention and mouthfeel and things that you want out of a beer. Just like the same way that when you're using your Secco, you're trying for combustion mainly with Secco. Mm-hmm. So everything has its purpose when you're mixing it in, just like any recipe. So yeah, that's you nailed it when you answered the question that way.
Thanks for the question, Bob Dog. We always appreciate it. Thanks for participating. If you want to ask questions of the show, you can always go to cigarfederation.com, check out the show page, click on the link. Unfortunately, it only works from a desktop computer. But if you want to comment through mobile, I'll probably toss your question up anyway. So we're getting into our last beer, and we both kind of went off the rails in the last beer, although Robbie might have gone off the rails a little bit more than I did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so for me, this was just, I'm a sucker for packaging. This is the Heretic. I saw the packaging. I'm like, oh, that looks really cool. And I don't know that I've had a lot of stuff from Heretic. This might actually be the only thing I've ever had from Heretic. This is their Bold Red IPA. You can tell by the name already, we're pushing that envelope. And this is the Evil Twin. Heretic Brewing are located right down the street from Robbie and, well, maybe not right down the street, but
close
Fairfield,
enough.
California. Opened in 2012. We're still stepping it up. We're going from 6.3% ABV now all the way up to 6.8% ABV, 45 IBUs. And what I love when they get that SRM in there, baby, SRM 18. Now, if you've been paying attention to our last 79 shows, and I know you have, SRM is a measure of how dark the beer is. Now, you can look. We're going from lightest to darkest. So you see how dark this is. This is actually not as dark as Robbie's last beer. But look at those two side by side. We're getting more into that amber copper color. Certainly a lot more than the first two beers. And they say it's got a rich malt character without being overly sweet. And then they put a little note at the end, big hops. So I think I'm kind of getting an experience very similar to what Rob just had on his second beer. Oh, and I put it up to my nose and it's like cotton candy rolled in hops.
Oh, that sounds good.
It kind of smells fantastic, actually. I didn't think that cotton candy and hops would be a good combination, but we'll see how that goes. So why don't you tell the audience about what you're getting in for in this last beer?
Yeah, and I will tell you, I've had both of these beers. I've had the Evil Twin several times, and yours is much hoppier than what I just had.
Ooh, it's very hoppy.
It's, yeah, you're dealing with a red, that's a red IPA.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you've got an IPA.
It is with, an IPA. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what you've got. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I went way off the reservation because, frankly, I wasn't paying that much attention. And I went with Better Off Red from the Crux Fermentation Project. Now, this is a barrel-aged Flanders-style red ale. I just saw red ale and said, okay, I'll get this. And I'd seen Crux. I like their label. It's cool. It's this little arrows pointing in different directions type situation. Die cut. It's kind of a cool look. Again, I'm a sucker for presentation. The wax. So this thing was a beast to get into.
Yeah, you need like the Ocean's 11 team to get into that beer.
It's got the wax, and then you pop the cap, and then there was you may have heard the cork pop when I opened it.
Absolutely.
Now, some of you may, and here's the beer here, and I have it in a different a glass here, as
fancy.
You can see. But it's, I mean, this is more of a cherry color.
And it actually cherry copper, yeah.
Kind of smells like cherry. Because a Flanders red ale is it's a sour ale. And It's brewed in West Flanders, Belgium. So it's, it's a sour. It's typically light-bodied brews with reddish-brown colors. They are infamous for their distinct sharp, fruity, sour, and tart flavors, which are created by the special yeast strains. Now, I did not get a lot of information from the Crux fermentation website, Crux Fermentation Project. It's cruxfermentation.com. As I did some research, it appears as though they've been around, they're in Bend, Oregon, and they've been around since 2012. Now, I know some of the guys on SigFed, like Tripp and Stefan. I know that they would know maybe a little better than I do because they're closer to this brewery and they get more from them. This is the first I've had. And this is part of their 2015 Banished series. So, again, barrel-aged Flanders-style red ale. It's a sour. So this is going to be very interesting to see how it goes. they tell me a little bit about the this is the interesting thing about it. 7% alcohol, which is pretty low for a barrel age.
Yeah.
But the dirty little secret is that every sour is barrel aged. That's how you get the sour flavor. So, or at least that's what I've been told. And I'm sure there's ways you can do it without barrel aging it. But the vast majority of sours are barrel aged. And let's see. So it's 7% alcohol, 18 IBUs. So not much, by the way. Not much by the way of hop bitterness, but it's got some tartness. Flanders Red may be called, I'm going to just read what they say here, may be called the Burgundies of Belgium, but we age our take on this complex, slightly tart style in Oregon Pinot Noir barrels for nearly a year. So I'm actually, after seeing all this and hearing how cool this beer is, it was actually pretty cheap considering what I'm getting here. So there's not a lot on their website. You can check them out. Their website's actually pretty weird to navigate. It's like one big picture, and you just kind of have to scroll right to left and just see what's going on. But it looks like they're doing some pretty cool stuff. It's cruxfermentation.com. But I'm skeptical about this pairing, so we'll see what happens. Although, I did brew on Sunday, and a buddy of mine came over, a fellow cigar smoker, the guy I went to high school with, and he's a beer guy, and he brought over, he's big into sours nowadays, and he brought over a couple of different sours, and I paired them with a Way Wednesday, and they went really, really well, so we'll see what happens.
Giddy up. Stupid, sexy Flanders. So when I was reading up on Irish Red Ales, one of the big things they said was, there's really two categories of red ales, and I didn't know this until I had already made my purchases. Obviously, neither did you. There's what's really classified as an Irish red ale, and that's the type of red or amber ale that you see in France, Australia, and North America. Then there's a type of red ale that Robbie's drinking, and that's the Flemish red ale. And like you said, it pretty much is a sour. So it's interesting, and you know, we talk a lot about terminology in all the beer pairings we do, and some of the beer pairing terminology is really quite vague, and obviously here in a case, one style of red ale is very different from another type of red ale, but talking a little bit about this evil twin, Rob kind of hit it on the head. Obviously you've drank this many times. It's kind of, I wouldn't really call it a red ale. It is, as Rob said, it's a red IPA ale, and at 45 IBUs, this has a monster amount of hops to it. I mean, just like if you'd asked me to write down how many hops this had it for IBUs, I would have said this has got to be 60 or 65. Because
what are the IBUs in that? I'm sorry.
45.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either, because to me, this is 60, 65 IBUs. I don't think it's in the 70 category, but like if I tasted this blind, there's just no way you'd have the hoppiness below 60 IBUs because it's just got so much hoppy character. But the red ale quality does counterbalance that, and I think they've probably stepped up the malts here to offset that hoppiness, because the sweetness and the hoppiness do play off against each other. It's actually a really interesting beer, not quite what I wanted for the pairing show, but again, there's happy accidents. It's kind of fun. The hoppiness is interesting with the Recluse Amadeus Habano Reserva, but it doesn't quite work as well, unfortunately, as the Breakside Brewery Toro Red. I think that Toro Red really is kind of what I was hoping for the pairing, and I think kind of finds that sweet spot. This is interesting, and I love taking it in a different direction, but it's and it could be maybe fighting for the number two spot, but for pairing, probably, not the best. Great beer. Going to rate it very highly, and I'll probably seek out more of these because it's very good. But I'm really interested to hear how that Flemish Red Ale Sour is going with the Recluse.
You know, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I think I'm losing a lot of the beer. I think I'm losing a lot of the flavor and the nuance of this beer. It's getting a little overblown by the cigar. But it's almost in a way acting kind of like a mild palate cleanser. Hmm. I do find myself taking, instead of going sip, puff, sip, puff, sip, puff, I'm going sip, puff, puff.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of funk there. It's better than I thought it was going to be. I wouldn't do it again. No, it's not horrible. I mean, but
it's not right.
So this beer was relatively inexpensive based on what it is, but it's a small, I mean, well, this is actually, it's over a year old. This is 12.7 fluid ounces. So it's a regular size bottle basically. And it was over $10. So it is a little bit expensive, but as far as sours go, it's not that bad. So I am curious I put the cork back in it. I'm going to put it back in the fridge and I'm going to do some sampling of it later on a little bit more of a fresh palate.
Maybe so some mixed mash?
Well, maybe. Yeah, just to see if I can get a full flavor of it. More so just for my own edification, and maybe I'll buy another one and do a review. But I do have a recent post on mixed and mashed about five IPAs that I think you should try. So you can check that out. You can check that out at mixedandmashed.com. Thank you for bringing that up, John. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
This tonight was interesting. And I feel like if I would have found another red ale or maybe ponied up and got, not ponied up, but I was more worried about space to store the six pack than the money it cost to buy it. Because I could have spent less on the six pack than I did on this one beer. I just didn't have anywhere to put it. But I think if I would have grabbed one of those, it would have been a more successful show. The first two for me, the pairings were really, really good. I think one thing that I found is that a red ale is kind of an underappreciated beer by myself. And Scottish ales too. I want to do like a couple of Scottish ale shows, Scotch ale shows.
Love Scotch ales. Wee Heavies.
Yeah, Wee Heavies and things like that. There's some interesting stuff over there and interesting flavor profiles. Dana loves them. My wife loves Scotch ales, Scottish ales, all that.
That's because she has good taste. I mean, I can't explain you, but that's why she has good taste.
Copy that. And it's interesting. I mean, and I don't know if there's a difference. I'll have to look this up to see because there's so many the terminology in the definitions for beer are changing so often that it's hard to keep up. Yeah. But is there a difference between a Scotch ale and a Scottish ale?
I think they're obviously used interchangeably where they may not be interchangeable. And like I said, I think the Scots refer to it as a wee heavy. That's how they describe it. So it's essentially a Scotch ale. And I think what they define it as is the higher ABV. And it's an ale that's stepped up in
ABV. Like a strong ale.
Like a strong ale. That's right.
Okay. Well, yeah, but that'd be another interesting show. But tonight I have to go with the Red Rocket. It was perfect, a perfect balance of, even though it had significantly more IBUs than yours, which kind of blows me away because I've had both of these beers and I would have flip-flopped the numbers, just like you said. I got to go with that Red Rocket from Bear Republic. It was a perfect balance of that malty sweetness with a little bit of hops just to kind of build up the body a little bit. And the cigar responded really nicely to it. So the El Segundo Station Number 1 Red Ale, I think, is a really nice red. It's not the kind of beer that you're going to go and find in a tap room and, you know, go have to try to seek out like as many bombers as you can find, because I think it's pretty readily available in the areas that they're available. It's not a special release or anything like that, but it's the kind of beer that I could find myself just always having a bomber or two on hand because it's good. And it's not overly hoppy. It's not barrel aged. It's not anything that's over the top, but it's just really nice, balanced, great beer just to sit around and, you know, sip on and just like a nice evening. I really do like it. So, but yeah, I will go with the Red Rocket Ale. It's very long winded, but I'll go Red Rocket for the pairing of the night.
Yeah. I think for me that Breakside Brewery, that Toro Red, that'll be one. I'm going to go back and see if I can get that in a six pack, because I think that's something I want to revisit and maybe try different couple pairings with. But exactly go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We got a question popped up. We have time for a question real quick?
We sure do.
Bob Dog in the chat room wanted to know what cigar do I think would pair well with this Flemish style red ale? That's an interesting question. I'm going to take a sip here real quick and just try to formulate an opinion real quick.
I'm going to throw out Sumatra wrapper. Actually, you know, actually, a risotto wrapper might be something with a risotto wrapper might be interesting.
You know, this is a little bit different because it's not quite as, and I feel like the cigar may have been overrunning it, but it's a bit more, it's very approachable as far as a sour is concerned. And it's, I don't think this is really considered a sour ale.
No.
It's just, it's on the tart side.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like, you know, picking up a sour or a Gose or something like that, where it's really like super tart. There's some body to it. There's some maltiness to it. There's no hops in there really at all to taste, but it's tart and fruity, but you could go with something. I think you could probably go with like a juiced up Connecticut maybe.
Yeah. Like with, maybe a Connecticut Fuerte from.
Yeah. Something with it. That's got a little bit of strength behind it, but it's got a creamy profile to it.
Or an Undercrown Shade maybe.
Yeah. Or something that's got that a bit of a creamy profile. I want to have a creamy profile with the cigar. So you could even go with, something from Fuente, I think maybe, you know, when you get into, like you said, a risotto, you could get an interesting profile from that too. I wouldn't go with anything too strong or too spicy. I wouldn't go with a Maduro, but something along those lines. Cameroon
pairs with everything, I think.
That Hemingway, dude, that's go for it.
Forget about it. I think we got like a minute here left in the show, but I gotta ask Harley's question because it made me laugh. And Harley said, "How do you guys pick the pairings? Are you just throwing darts at the BevMo ads, or do you have some guidelines?" Well, I think it's probably more throwing the darts at the BevMo ads this week, but that's more a factor of coming off the IPCPR. We're really, really busy. We're kind of getting back into the swing of things. But normally we'll typically throw some ideas back and forth. Look at some of the samples and look at kind of more so the cigars you want to showcase for the show and kind of keep it current, keep it relevant.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we run into a few different things. I mean, I have access to cigars that John doesn't and vice versa. That limits what we can do sometimes. But for the most part, I feel like we make pretty educated guesses as to what is going to pair well. And I think today we actually made a pretty good assumption that this red ale would pair really well.
Yep.
Although we both went off the rails for one of our choices, that's okay. That's what makes it fun. But yeah, for the most part, there's actual thought and conversation that goes into it. This week was a little bit thrown together, but I feel like it worked out really well because I had two really good pairings, so I'm not mad about it.
So thanks for tuning in to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 79. You definitely want to check out the show tomorrow night. We have a little-known blender. Some of you may have heard of him, Nick Melillo, Foundation Cigar Company. Yeah, I don't know if that's on anyone's radar, but what broadleaf what now? So that'll be a great show. I know I'll be tuning into that one, probably smoking a cigar, something broadleaf.